The Church Media Podcast, episode number 69, Extraordinary Leadership with Jenny Catron. Let's do it.
Hey there. Welcome to the Church Media Podcast.
The definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media production teams in your church.
We're bringing you knowledge and insight from top media professionals from around the world. Useful, practical content in the areas of live production, design, leadership, digital communications, and more.
The show notes for this episode and all archive episodes of the show are available online now
at 1230media.com/podcast.
And now, broadcasting from the ministry headquarters of 1230 Media, here's your host, church media coach Carl Barnhill.
Hey guys, welcome. Thanks for hanging out with me this week. We are bringing you fresh content each and every Monday, helping you create memorable experiences and build solid volunteer teams at your church. This week on the show, I welcome Jenny Catron. Jenny is the author of the book Clout, Discover and Unleash Your God-Given Influence. Her new book, The Four Dimensions of Extraordinary Leadership, is also available now. I hung out with Jenny a few months ago at SALT and listened in on a workshop that she did on leadership, and the content she shared was exceptional. If you're a leader of volunteers at your church, listen up. Jenny has some really practical helps for you as you lead your teams. We talked about leading in the midst of chaos, which we as creatives know a little bit about, serving on Sundays, don't we? We also talked about leading with your heart, your soul, mind, and strength, and how to take your leadership from ordinary to extraordinary. My chat with Jenny is coming right up after this week's Church Media Resource of the Week. Hit it.
And now, your Church Media Resource of the Week.
Software, websites, gadgets, and tools that will resource your creativity and your ministry.
Hey guys, Justin Trapp here from MinistryPass.com with your Church Media Resource of the Week. Now, one of my favorite resources is a website called Rev.com, R-E-V.com. You can also download their app. And what you do is when you download their app, it will record you talking into it, and then they will take your audio files and they would transcribe those into Word documents for you at $1 per minute. So here's how this translates for me and my business and in our church. I'll write blog posts while walking down the street with my dog or my son, and I'll just talk for 7 to 8 minutes about a topic. I'll upload it all in the app. It costs $1 a minute, so it costs me $7, $8 for a first rough draft of my blog, and then I just go in and I make tweaks and I edit. And voila, I have a blog post. And also, you can do this with your pastor's sermons. We've done this with our pastor's sermons. So he's talking about grace, and he has 3 points. So maybe what we do is, while it, a sermon is 40 minutes, well, I think, oh, that's pretty expensive for a blog post. So what you can do is you can take and you can break apart his sermon into 4 blog posts, like an introduction, point 1, point 2, point 3. And now you have 4 blog posts from 1 sermon. I think it's an amazing tool. I love it. It's super easy to use. You can download it at rev.com or in the iOS store or the Android store.
For more free resources for your team, visit 1230media.com/training. This is an exclusive interview from 1230 Media and Carl Barnhill. Get shareable content and free resources for your team at 1230media.com/podcast. Here's Carl now.
Hey guys, I welcome on the line Jenny Catron. Jenny is a writer, speaker, and leadership expert committed to helping leaders lead from their extraordinary best. She has a passion to inspire, equip, and encourage others. She's the author of Clout, Discover and Unleash Your God-Given Influence, and The 4 Dimensions of Extraordinary Leadership, which we're going to talk about today. Jenny, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on with me.
Thank you for having me, Carl. I'm looking forward to the conversation today.
Now, I read on your website that you're a mean tennis player. Is that true?
Mean might be a little of an exaggeration, but I do love the game of tennis. I would not call me, like, super talented, but it's a good stress reliever and it's a fun game.
Now, with the Olympics this summer, did you really catch a lot of the action over in Rio this year?
You know, tennis? I watched I caught a little bit of tennis, but not a ton. Like, I think I just missed when they were airing some of the tennis stuff. So I didn't see as much tennis as I would have enjoyed. But I, you know, when the other majors are on, I am glued to the TV for sure.
Now, wasn't it one of the Williams sisters, like, had her first Olympic loss or something this year? Wasn't it something like that? I'm not really into it, but...
You know, I think so, but I was bad because I didn't pay as much attention to tennis in the Olympics, which I'm kind of ashamed to admit.
Well, there were definitely other things going on. Swimming and other things kind of took the show this year. But,
it's funny because it's like I always want to watch all the gymnastics, during Olympics, and then my husband watches all the track stuff. So
okay.
Between that, I feel like that was our Olympics this year.
Yeah, you cover it all. Speaking of your husband, tell me about your family and kind of the journey that God has brought you on to the point that you're at now.
Yeah. My husband and I have been married 17 years. So it is just the two of us. We are not brave enough to have children of our own. So just the two of us. And we currently live in San Jose, California. We've been out here a little over 2 years, 2.5 years. We moved from Nashville, Tennessee, where I originally worked in the music business in Nashville. So that's what got me there. I grew up in the Midwest. My husband grew up in Georgia. And we met in school in Tennessee. I went to work in the music business, worked at a Christian record label for a number of years. And then we got into, we were part of helping a church plant in Nashville called Crosspoint. And that's where I ultimately went on staff there and served as executive director for almost 9 years. And that's kind of how I got into ministry. We came out here for a role at a church, Menlo Church, in Menlo Park, California. And then most recently left there to pursue leadership development and leadership coaching and consulting in a more full-time capacity. So that's the quick story.
Gotcha. So you're living in California now. I'm in South Carolina. We're still going to claim you as a part of the South. Is that okay? We got you.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Anytime I fly back to the South, I love the South.
Yeah.
You know, I've lived in the Midwest, born and raised there, lived in the South, and then the West Coast. And there's great things about all parts of the country, but the South kind of captured my heart. So I still kind of feel like a little bit of a Southerner.
Yeah.
So,
it's definitely a culture thing. Yeah.
Totally. Yes.
All right. So on this podcast, you're talking to church leaders, mainly in the production and tech space, and we want to grow our staff and volunteer teams. That's mm-hmm. one thing that we really want to focus on this podcast is how to grow good, solid, dynamic volunteer teams and a volunteer culture.
Awesome.
Okay. So we want to lead them well. So I want to talk with you today about extraordinary leadership. You've written a couple of books on the topic of leadership, and your most recent book is called The Four Dimensions of Extraordinary Leadership, right? What led you to write this
sure.
book, and what's it about?
Yeah. Well, and, I love the focus, because any space that we're in, one of the things I learned early in my career, and this is going all the way back to my music business days, I had, kind of my first, leadership debacle when I was about 23 years old and had my first employee that I was responsible for managing. And within a few weeks, I was just exasperated and frustrated and thought this employee wasn't cutting it and I needed to fire them and, get somebody else and move on. And my boss, kind of stopped me and he said, Jenny, if you want to go work with widgets, go work in a factory. But if you want to work with people, you're going to have to learn how to love them and how to lead them. And that really stirred in me the significance of leadership and the significance of leading other people well. Because I think, I was 23, I was young, I was driven, I, wanted to conquer the world. And I just kind of unintentionally saw people as a means to an end. And rather than as part of my responsibility in managing and leading is really to develop people and bring out their best. And so that moment really marked for me how important leadership is, and that has just only grown throughout my, my career and through my ministry in recognizing how significant it is that we steward the responsibility of leadership well. And I think this is especially true for church leaders. In fact, I spent almost equal times in the marketplace at the record company as I did in ministry full-time in a church capacity. And I am convinced that church leadership, ministry leadership, is some of the hardest leadership we do, because especially when you're leading volunteer teams, you know, you are leading people that have to be there, are there because they want to, not because they have to for a paycheck. And that makes, you know, your leadership that much more important. I mean, it's that much more important that you are leading well. So anyway, that's really kind of been the heart for me behind all that I've written on leadership, and why it's become such a passion for me, is that leadership is really hard. It's difficult work. It's challenging. It stretches us. It makes us second guess everything we knew and understood about who we are. And yet all of us know what it's like to be led well. You know, hopefully most of us listening to this, we've had an experience where we've been led by somebody who led us really well. And when that happens, like the level of belief that we have when we're led by somebody who really believes in us, and like what that does to inspire us and, you know, cause us to stretch and do more and give more and grow, is unbelievable. And then we've all probably had an experience with a poor leader, somebody who didn't really know how to inspire us or get the best out of us, and they just discouraged us and frustrated us. And so that really has been the fuel for me behind all of my leadership writing, is to say that I want to lead well. And what does it take to do that? How do I do it? And that's a lot of what I write about in the Four Dimensions.
So you travel and you coach and consult at a lot of churches and different cultures and teams. What do you find is maybe the biggest or most common leadership issue that church leaders in particular face?
Ah, that's a great question. You know, I think that what I often find is and this is a bit of, you know, what we go into in the Four Dimensions, but that most of us will lead from, I call them the Four Dimensions, and it's really based on Scripture. I talk about leading from heart, from soul, from mind, and from strength, which, you know, everybody's going, oh, yeah, in the Great Commandment, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I rooted a lot of my leadership principles in this, because I believe that when Jesus says that, he could have said, love the Lord your God. Like, that's the Great Commandment, is just love God. But he clarifies it and says, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And I believe he does that because he's reinforcing that is all of who we are, is heart, soul, mind, and strength. Like, that is our whole being. We're relational, we're spiritual, we're strategic, we're thinkers, and we're visionary. We provide strength with vision. And I likened that. So the application to me to leadership was to say, you know what? What does it look like to lead with my whole self? Because in answer to your question, what I often see from leaders is that we lead with one of those dimensions and we kind of forsake the others. So, for example, for myself, I'm super strategic. You know, I have been one of those people that, you know, from the time I was two, I was, you know, had a schedule and making plans and, you know, mapping out my day. And, you know, so I just naturally lead with a lot of strategy. So I will come into a team, or, you know, that four leadership example that I shared, you know, when I was 23, and I just start making plans and barking orders, and I can kind of just, you know, blow people over, you know, because I'm just like driving so hard to an end goal. And I can lack a lot of heart as a leader, you know, that I just lack a lot of heart. I lack a little bit of soul, and I only lead from my mind. And then you'll also see people, you know, especially in ministry context, sometimes we lead with a lot of heart in ministry because it is such a relational place. But then when we only lead with heart, we don't, maybe we lack a little vision, or maybe we lack a little strategy. And so we don't see, you know, the vision come to fruition, because we're loving people well, but we're not taking them anywhere, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Do you
and
find,
so what I often,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Go sorry.
Ahead.
Go ahead, Carl.
I was going to say, do you find in those scenarios that maybe you're not as productive as a team, or things don't get done if you're just relationship oriented and not, don't bring in the strategy as well?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Is that, you know, and that's a tough tension, because, you know, I know, you know, there, you kind of get both examples. You'll get the extreme of, oh my gosh, that ministry, that church is too corporate. It's all bureaucracy. It's all, you know, and people will say it lacks a heart or it lacks a soul, you know, and then on the flip side of that, you'll have, you know, some great churches that really are super relationally connected. People are loved really well, but they might not actually be reaching more people, or they may not be, you know, sharing the gospel and getting out beyond their doors because they're kind of hanging out together, you know, because they are so relational and so connected. And that is what I see, and I don't see it just in churches. I see it in, you know, in nonprofit leaders that I work with or small business leaders that I work with, that all of us are going to be have a natural propensity to lead from one of those four dimensions, you know, just an overflow of who we are, kind of our personality. But my challenge to leaders is to say, you know what, I believe deeply that God has really equipped us with all four of those things, and when we bring all four dimensions to our work, and when we work as a team and try to bring all four dimensions to our work, then I think we really lead with all of who we are and all who God's created us to be. And I think that's when you see the most successful, if you will. That word can be a little weird in a ministry setting, but you can see teams that are really accomplishing their goal well, but they're not leaving people in the wake, you know, just driving ahead full force. So there's something really beautiful that happens, I think, when all four of those dimensions show up within a team.
So I'd love to walk through each of those. So let's start with heart. So walk me through what it looks like to lead with my heart.
Yeah, you know, and the heart really is, it's the relational side of leadership. So it's just slowing down to see people. And, you know, some of you listening, this comes really naturally. You know, you love people, you love being with people, and you see them, you see their emotions, their needs, their fears, their joys, you know, you just see what is going on with people. And I love that about you, because it's actually something that comes more difficultly to me. And then, you know, folks more like myself, especially those who are really strong in leading with strategy from the mind or with the strength piece, you know, that are just kind of drivers of vision, sometimes we won't see that, the heart side. We just see the goal. And so when we lead from the heart, we slow down to see people, we engage with them, we're connecting with people, and we're just relationally connecting.
So what's the difference in that and soul? Sometimes these are connected. How do you split those two out?
Yeah, and they are connected. I mean, there's definitely connected. The soul is really that spiritual part of leadership, and a lot of the leading from the soul has a lot to do with our self-leadership. It's a lot about character development, integrity, morality, our own spiritual health and well-being. Like, are we attending to our souls? Is our soul healthy as a leader? And I think, you know, sometimes for those of us in church leadership and ministry leadership, we'll be like, oh, yeah, we got this because we work in churches all the time. But I often see, and I see this frequently from church leaders, is that we're so busy doing the work of ministry that we're not actually leading ourselves and leading our teams from a spiritual lens. We think we are because we're doing spiritual things, but there's a subtlety in that to go, am I really leading people closer to God? Am I praying for my team? Am I engaging spiritual conversations just to check in and see how they're doing? And, you know, are they connecting with God? Are they taking time out are we praying together as a team? So it's just looking for those moments to say, am I spiritually leading my team? Not just doing the spiritual work, but am I actually spiritually leading them and connecting with them? And am I displaying Christ-likeness in how I carry out my work from day to day?
That's a good point, and I'm almost wondering if to lead spiritually, obviously we need to start with ourselves. So I'm wondering how that plays into it. Like, if my spiritual walk is a little more dedicated to Jesus, or if I'm in a groove, a routine of spending time with Jesus, and not that it's a rote thing, but, you know, if I'm in a good relationship with Jesus, do you think, and obviously it's going to spill out and to your leadership. Talk to me about that. Do you see that with teams?
I will often say to people, lead yourself well to lead others better.
That's
so
good.
I think in all of it, it's like, okay, it starts with me first as the leader. Am I really developing this part of my leadership? So yes, I think absolutely that the pace of the leader is the pace of the team, right? And so if I'm not really, you know, carving out that time to, you know, to become more Christ-like, following Jesus, and that's an, it needs to be a natural overflow in order for it to be authentic and impact my team, you know, in a significant way as well. So yeah, I think it all, you know, all rises and falls on leadership. I mean, I start quoting John Maxwell like crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I do. I think we need to lead ourselves well to lead others better. And I think in this component, especially that spiritual leadership piece, it's got to be an overflow of who we are and how we're, you know, living our day-to-day walk with Christ.
What about your mind? How do you lead with your mind?
Yeah, yeah. This is so much the strategic part of leadership. It's that, you know, this is the person who leads strong from their mind is the person who just, you know, think systems, thinks process, thinks strategy, thinks goals. Now, you know, some of us are naturally inclined to do that. And so I know that for others of you, you know, that might not be how you're wired day in and day out. And I get that. But it's the discipline piece. That's probably the most encompassing word to say here is really the leading from our mind is a lot about that, the discipline of just recognizing that, you know, There are just rhythms, there is order that's necessary to move things along. And so just being attentive to that and figuring out, okay, you know, some of people like myself, you're going to naturally take the lead on building systems and strategies and, you know, building strategic plans and process and all of that. That comes really naturally. For others who that doesn't come as naturally, there's still an awareness of the need for strategy, systems, process, and recognizing that the right level of those things helps move ministry forward. And so being aware of that and following the lead of people who are strong in that dimension to say, okay, thank you for, you know, kind of creating a pathway and a plan for us so that we can keep moving forward. So, you know, there are going to be people who will just naturally kind of take the lead in that space, but I think all of us need to be aware of the value of, you know, systems, process, strategy, planning in helping accomplish mission.
And the last piece, and we haven't really touched on this, is strength. How do we lead by strength?
Yeah, and you know, this one's a little bit it's a little hard at first to go, well, what does that mean exactly? But I liken strength to the power of vision, in that, you know, we know without vision people perish. And so I really believe that vision provides strength for our teams, for our organizations, for our churches, that strength really is that anchor. It's that hope for the future. And so, you know, I think when we're leading from strength, we're really providing that vision. We're providing that hope. We're seeing possibility. We're helping, you know, people see where we're headed and why we're headed there and why it matters, why we feel like God is calling us to this. So, you know, it can be, you know, obviously in our churches, you know, the core vision of, you know, sharing the gospel, and then all of your churches probably have nuanced versions of that vision for your church, your city, ministry, and going, you know, this is our why, this is what it's about. And then you get more specific of, you know, here's a specific part of the vision that God has called us to live out this year, and here's how all of us connect to that vision. And so I think when we're leading from vision, we're helping connect the dots to every team member so they know how they connect to helping accomplish that vision. And I think that's really critical, and that we recognize as leaders, part of our responsibility is helping people see how they fit in with that vision, how their role, you know, however big or small, and this is especially critical for volunteers because sometimes they can think, you know, I'm so disconnected from that outcome of that vision, I don't even know how much it matters. And so when you as the leader can help connect those dots, you're providing strength. You're providing strength to the whole team. You're providing hope to that individual. And all of that really is leading with strength.
Now, those are the four dimensions that you mentioned in your book, and kind of going off track here a little bit, you're heavily involved in the Catalyst podcast and with other church leaders. Maybe talk to me about who you see is exhibiting this, or maybe some things that you've picked up in dealing with the podcast from other church leaders that you've talked to. Who's really exhibiting these, or are there some things that you learned that you've implemented from people that you've talked to on the podcast?
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. You know, and I think all of us are going to naturally have an area we're stronger in. I think, you know, one of the leaders that I really admire and respect is Carrie Newhoff, who is, you know, if you don't know Carrie, he is a podcast. He has a great blog and website and just a really brilliant church leadership thinker. And I think Carrie really demonstrates this well. I think that he would say he's probably really strong in strength. I think, you know, that would be his natural dimension. He's a great visionary. But I think he's somebody who's learned how to lead from all four of those dimensions. And when I talk to people that work and lead with him, they really praise him and have such respect for his leadership, which is always, you know, an indicator of a leader who's really leading from, you know, all four of those dimensions. Another person that I think does this well is Jeff Henderson, who's in Atlanta at Gwinnett Church. He's the lead pastor at Gwinnett Church, which is a North Point partner, or a North Point
campus.
Thank you. And Jeff is somebody who I see do this exceptionally well. Jeff, I think, would probably be leads naturally from the heart, the strongest, but again, has learned how to, spiritual leadership falls in there really close for him, too. He's just a phenomenal pastor, but he's learned the importance of vision, and he understands the significance of strategy, and, you know, and he's just, as he's led over time, really has demonstrated those. So those two guys come to mind to me right off the bat.
Great. Now, your book is entitled The Four Dimensions of Extraordinary Leadership. So tell me how we get from ordinary to extraordinary.
Yeah. Now, and obviously this is God's work in us, right? Leading us to, you know, becoming the best leader we can possibly, becoming that extraordinary leader. And I really do think it's when we see heart, soul, mind, and strength kind of showing up in our leadership on a regular basis. Because again, going all the way back to looking at that great commandment and the importance of, you know, the significance of why Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when you, you know, I've done some studying kind of behind it into Jewish tradition, you know, that great commandment in Jewish tradition was called the Shema. And so when you go back and you look at these layers of that commandment, you recognize that, you know, it really represents all of who we are, that Jesus was saying, love God with all of who we are. And then the second commandment is love others. And ultimately, as leaders, our job is to love others. It's to love others and lead others well. And so we equally need to do that with all of who we are. And so I am just convinced that when we learn how significant those four things are, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we're intentional to lead from all four of them, and we see them kind of at play in our leadership from day to day, then I think extraordinary leadership begins to emerge and people begin to get our best as leaders.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up that passage. That's actually our name. Our ministry name is 1230 Media. That comes from Mark 12:30 and 31, where Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He talks about loving God first and loving others. And we know that if we put that first and foremost to anything that we do, whether it's media or leadership or whatever, life, that everything else is going to fall in place if we get those two things right, loving God, loving people. So it's interesting that you bring that up. All right, so in church media world, especially on Sundays, things can move super fast and get a little bit chaotic. You talk about this some in your book, how to lead in the midst of chaos. Walk me through that.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because I think that was one of those, like, big aha moments in my early leadership days was, you know, I kept trying to just, you know, eliminate chaos, you know, eliminate the crazy, you know, because there's always moving parts. There's always something going on. And again, when we're working with people, people are human. They all, you know, everybody has different things going on. Every Sunday morning when everybody shows up, volunteers and staff, they're all bringing whatever, you know, whatever they've been wrestling with, dealing with, you know, whatever, emotion, shows up with them, when they get to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
And so, I think for a long time I just thought, okay, if I can just solve this problem and if I can just deal with this issue and if I can just eliminate the chaos, then life would be perfect. Well, that's not realistic because that's not life. We are human, we're integrated, messy, complicated creatures. And when you put a bunch of us together, it gets that much more chaotic and messy. And then you add technology and, every other, gremlin that shows up in our sound systems and tech stuff on Sunday mornings, and it's chaos. And I think that was the aha for me, was recognizing that's our reality as leaders. Like, our job as leaders is actually to lead through the chaos, to clear the clutter so that we can make the way a little smoother for the rest of our teams. Because a leader's job is to be just a little bit ahead of the rest of the team. We don't want to be so far ahead that we've left them in the dust and they're, they can't follow. We want to be just a step or two ahead, kind of clearing the clutter, kind of paving the way and making it a little smoother for those who come behind us. So, our job as leaders, and I think when we are leading, the most effectively, we are really, we have our eyes out looking for, okay, where's confusion? Where's chaos? Where's complexity? And how can I bring some clarity to this? How can I, if there's a decision that needs to be made, if there's a conversation that needs to be had, if whatever the problem is, can I step up and step into that situation to help make it a little bit smoother for everybody else? And I think that's the game changer for us as leaders, when we recognize, nope, don't avoid it, don't run from it. Obviously, with great discernment, wisdom, prayer, step into those moments to help make it smoother for the rest of your team. That's really one of the things that we get to do as leaders. And I think when we can shift that paradigm and recognize, this is what I get to do. I get to help make the way a little smoother for the people who I'm leading, just as the people who are going ahead of me are making it a little smoother for me, then we recognize that that's our job as leaders, and it becomes a great joy because you're actually serving your teams, which is ultimately what leadership is about, is that we're serving our teams by helping make their way just a bit easier.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, especially in volunteer world, that they're serving in some capacity for free, doing something for the church or whatever. And so we, in turn, get to serve them. So I think that's a very interesting dynamic as leaders. So, and you may have covered this too, but what are some quick leadership tips that we could implement right away when it comes to volunteers?
It's so good. I think I would say, just remember that volunteers are giving of their sacrificing of their time with family, with, maybe hobbies or whatever. Like, sometimes, and I saw this in myself as a church leader, I served as a volunteer in the church for a number of years before I ever went on staff. But I quickly, once I got on staff, would forget what it was like as a volunteer.
Right.
And so I would have to connect myself to that often to say, I remember when I was a volunteer and my outside of church world involved 60-plus hour work weeks, juggling family, juggling other hobbies, juggling other volunteer commitments, whatever. And we didn't even have kids, and our world was complex. And so you add, all the responsibilities they have to get their kids to practice or games or, all of the different things going on. And you recognize that when a church member volunteers their hours to serve at the local church, those are sacred hours. Like, they are sacrificing something else that they could be doing.
Right.
And so we as staff members need to remember how significant their contribution is and make sure that we're stewarding their time well. So I would just say, be prepared for them. Make sure that you've thought through what they're going to do and what how they're going to serve, and there's clear direction, and just being well prepared for those volunteers, because part of our job as staff is really equipping the whole body for ministry. And oftentimes what I see us do in church as church leaders is that we're busy doing the work, and then we kind of go, oh, yeah, I've got a few volunteers here, and I need to figure out something to do with them. And you know, we're desperate for volunteers, but then we're not always prepared for our volunteers. And so I would just, you know, remind all of us the importance of really preparing for that volunteer and understanding the sacrifice of their time and how precious that is, and that we're doing our best to really honor them and serve them by stewarding their time well and making sure that they feel like they're really contributing. We've got meaningful work for them to do. And it doesn't matter even if it's a simple thing, you know, but that they know, again, you're casting vision for why it matters and why it's connected, and that you just are giving clear direction and they're not sitting around twiddling their thumbs or not clear about where they're supposed to be or what they're supposed to be doing. Just that great clarity and attention to those volunteers goes a long, long way.
That is so good. I would be frustrated as a volunteer if I just sat around going, okay, I'm here. What am I supposed to be doing? And that can be very frustrating really fast, especially on a Sunday when some churches you're getting there at 5 o'clock in the morning, sometimes earlier, and you're going,
exactly.
Okay, I had to work late last night and I got up early to be here and you have nothing for me. Like, yeah. So that is so good to be prepared. In fact, you've kind of quantified that for me in some of the resources that we provide. That is actually what we're doing is helping church leaders in the tech space prepare for their volunteers to be there and give them, you know, an org chart or a certain task or checklists and things to do to make sure that they're prepared. So that is so good that you mentioned that. That's really, really good.
And it's such a huge value. And I love that you're even thinking about org charts and checklists, because honestly, they're used to that in their everyday work life.
Right.
You know, so I think sometimes we're adverse to that because we're like, oh, does that feel too formal? You know, be human and have a heart and connect and engage, but having clarity in their role, and you know, even if it's four bullet points that says, hey, here's the role, here's the function.
Yeah, here's the game plan.
Exactly. They love that. They get it. It's clear. And that they'll shine. They will rock it, you know, because they know what's expected and they're going to do that to the best of their ability 9 times out of 10.
Right. I also think that they'll have more ownership, too, because they're very clear on the goal.
Yes.
Okay, we know what we're after here, guys. And they'll almost rally other volunteers. Hey, here's the goal. Let's go after it together. But if they're not clear on that, if they're just sitting around and are unclear on the goal, then they have no reason to rally the troops without you there to get something done. So yeah, that's so good. All right, so wrap this all up for us. How do we become extraordinary in our leadership? I'm guessing everything that you just told us is how we do that, but put a bow on this for us.
Yeah, that's good. You know what? I think one of the things that comes back to mind for me is, I think it's in Philippians where it says, you know, God's perfecting his work, or, you know, he's perfecting us until the day of Christ Jesus. And I think that's the other thing we need to keep in mind is that, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, I've got to become an extraordinary leader today. You know, how do I become an extraordinary leader tomorrow? And God's work in us is ongoing. That's what I love about, you know, that the way that's phrased is that he is perfecting us until the day of Christ Jesus. So in some regard, it's like, okay, take a breath, because this is an ongoing work. This is the journey that we will be doing on this side of heaven, you know.
Yeah.
However, I do think, you know, it's a stewardship thing. Of God has given us a place of influence. He's given us a place of leadership. He has put people around you, whether it's 2 volunteers or 200 volunteers or, you know, 1 staff person or 100 staff people. Like, he has given you people to influence and people to lead. And so recognize the importance of that, the stewardship responsibility of that, and that you are really partnering with God in his work, you know, in ministry. And so do everything you can to seek to grow and to become a better leader. And it's things like this. It's listening to the podcast. It's taking advantage of the resources that you guys provide. It's reading leadership books. It's, you know, it's just having that heart and that passion to grow and to continue to become all that God has for you to become. It's that perfecting until. And that's the journey of extraordinary leadership. It's not a destination we arrive at, but it's an ongoing journey where we are just seeking to become more and more like Christ and stewarding this responsibility of leadership that he's given us. And in that, I think extraordinary emerges.
That's perfect. Thank you so much for sharing this insight with us. Tell us how we can get your book, how we can get involved and get connected with you.
Awesome. Carl, thank you so much for having me. This is fun, and I'm so grateful for you guys and what you're doing to help equip all of us in church ministry, because it's such a huge, huge, huge value. Yeah. My website is jennycatron.com, JennyCatron.com, and all of my social media is just at jennycatron, so super easy to find. You can find the book there. Books are on Amazon, too, so pretty much anywhere books are sold, you can find the Four Dimensions book and the other books I've written. And then my consulting business is called The Foresight Group, and the website for that is Get Foresight. It's the word get, the number four, the word site.com. And so, you know, for those who are looking for kind of ongoing consulting or coaching about leadership and really where leadership, where culture and strategy collide for ministries, is really kind of where my heart beats. Then that's where you can find me to learn more about that.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on again. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Carl. This is fun. I appreciate you.
Now, remember, Jenny's website is Jenny Catron, C-A-T-R-O-N, JennyCatron.com. Check it out today.
I've always been fascinated by the idea of becoming an extraordinary leader. Leadership has always been a passion of mine ever since I can remember, and I was probably in my early 20s when I realized just how significant great leadership is. See, leadership is influence, and when you have influence in other people's lives, you have the power to impact their lives in significant ways. And for that, I believe leadership is really sacred work. Like, it's the power to influence or impact someone else in a powerful way. In my quest to understand what does it mean to become an extraordinary leader, I've studied leaders throughout history, I've studied leaders from the Bible, but I never could quite find that person or that hero of leadership that I felt like I could frame and model my life and leadership after. And then I was reading in the Gospel of Mark, where a very familiar passage where Jesus is being challenged with questions about taxes and resurrection, and then they say, what is the greatest commandment? And he responds with what we know as the great commandment, or the Shema. And he says, the great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And so as I began to study that passage and understand a little bit more of what it means in Jewish culture, this is where I began to see the idea of extraordinary leadership come to life. Because it's in this framework of heart, soul, mind, and strength, if that's all of who we are, what does it look like to bring that to the leadership table? What does it look like to lead with all of our heart, to lead with great relational intentionality? What does it look like to lead with soul, to care deeply spiritually about the people we're leading? What does it look like to lead with my mind and bring the strategic, planning, managerial component of the wisdom that God has granted me? What does it look like to lead with strength, which I liken to the visionary part of leadership, because the vision is what provides strength to a team. And so I want to encourage you that you too can become an extraordinary leader. It takes enormous work, it takes sacrifice, it takes a willingness to learn, it takes a willingness to grow. But I truly believe that in the Great Commandment, Jesus gave us a framework, what I call the four dimensions of extraordinary leadership, for us to learn to become extraordinary leaders.
Hey guys, Jenny's book, The Four Dimensions of Extraordinary Leadership, can be found on Amazon and wherever books are sold. And you can discover more about Jenny and receive leadership coaching at JennyCatron.com. Well, that is it for us this week. You can follow Jenny in Twitter world at Jenny Catron. That's JennyCatron. And we'll be putting all of Jenny's socials, a transcript, links, PDFs, and more on the show notes page for this episode at 1230media.com/069. Shout out to Kat Hunter from our team who puts all that together just for you. Again, that's 1230media.com/069 for all the free stuff.
On the next Church Media Podcast.
Next week on the show, I welcome one of the top digital strategists in the country. Justin Wise will be on the show. Justin is the founder of Think Digital, a communications company that works with churches and nonprofits across the country, including Compassion International, HarperCollins, Tyndale House, and more. A powerhouse in the digital space. I'll be talking with Justin about how we can elevate our digital platforms. Don't miss that next week. A special thanks to the master, David Michael Hyde, for his producing skills. You can find David composing music for film and digital media at davidmichaelhyde.com. And thank you for listening this week. Go out there, guys, and create some incredible experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Church Media Podcast.
Please take a minute today to rate and review the show in iTunes.
For show notes, transcripts, and more free Church Media resources for your team, visit 1230media.com.
We'll catch you right here next week for another episode of the Church Media Podcast.